flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Got it. Okay, Madam Clerk, could we please have the roll call?
Member Daniels?
Present.
Member Stapleman?
Here.
Member Wallace?
Here.
Vice Chair Sheeler?
Present.
Chair Solomon is absent.
Okay, thank you. We will begin this with the public forum. This is a time for any member of the public to address the Planning Commission on an item that is not on today's agenda. If you'd like to speak, there are public speaker slips out in the foyer, and we will call you forward. As I note, it looks like we will not have any speakers tonight, so I will open and close the public hearing, and we'll move on to the next part of our agenda. I'd like to ask the planners if there's any changes or amendments to this evening's agenda.
There are none. The agenda remains the same.
Okay, thank you. And now for our next agenda item, will the clerk please read out the next item into the record?
Item A1 is the Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of May 24th, 2010.
Okay, we have a recommendation to approve the Planning Commission minutes for the meeting of May 24th, 2010. Would anybody care to make a motion on that?
So moved.
I second.
Okay, can we vote on that, please? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 4-0. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 4-0. Okay, we will now move on to the public hearing portion of our agenda. Will the clerk please read agenda item B1 into the record?
Item B1 is a public hearing, 09-154 CUP, T-Mobile, Mobile Monopine Wireless Telecommunications Facility located at 7402 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-064.
Thank you. I'd like to ask if anybody has any declarations to make on this item.
Site visit.
Also site visit.
None.
And site visit for me. Okay, we will start with the staff presentation. Mr. Ling.
Thank you, Vice Chair Sheeler and members of the commission. I'm going to highlight for you the salient points of the staff report. If you have any more detailed questions, I'm more than happy to answer them for you. I'm displayed on the video screens the vicinity aerial photo of the project. Along the bottom is Hollister Avenue going west to east. The Hollister Business Park takes up most of the western portion of the frame. I don't know if you can see it, but I'm circling with the hand tool the intersection of Hollister and Entrance Road. The Entrance Road is nominally the driveway that goes into the Hollister Business Park, and the project, the proposed Monopine telecommunications facility, is located in the back corner of the Hollister Business Park, all the way in the back. The project description, we have a request to construct a wireless telecommunications facility, which will be a 56-foot-tall faux pine tree in which eight antennae will be mounted on the pole and shrouded by the faux pine tree branches. The whole area, the site, the disturbance would be 623 square feet, and that includes the monopine structure itself and associated equipment cabinets. The lease area would take up three parking spaces and in the back corner. And let's see, site plan. So here these are, so here's a tree in the corner and the three parking spaces that the facility would displace. Further to the south is an existing landscape island that would be paved over and would restore two of the parking spaces that would be displaced by the facility. We've worked together with the Community Services Department to fine-tune the location of this facility. The Goleta 101 overpass is proposed to go through its line is proposed to go through the Hollister Business Park. And the initial location that was proposed would have conflicted with that alignment. We've been able to work together with the applicant's team to relocate the facility. I'm pleased to say that the new location works for everyone involved, both the city as well as the applicant. And so it's this relocated proposal that we are presenting to you today. From a zoning consistency standpoint, this puts on a as a road test. This is a project that does a road test of the telecommunications facilities regulations that we did an overhaul last year, and I'm pleased to say that it's working. This project does comply with all of the standards that are in that, in those telecommunications facilities regulations in the inland zoning ordinance with respect to height, setbacks, and development standards, design standards, which will continue to be refined as the project continues design review at the design review board. One of the aspects of the regulations includes co-location and a consideration of whether co-location is feasible prior to proposing the construction of a large new facility. In this case, let's see if I can zoom in here. At the corner of the building to the east is located, it's not showing on this photo because it's a, this photo is a bit outdated, is the Verizon Wireless Monopine facility. And so this parcel to the east of the Hollister Business Park, that's 75 Elwood Station Road. We asked the applicant to tell us whether they had considered co-locating their facility on the same Verizon Wireless Monopine. And we learned that, so on the Monopine, on that Monopine existing, there's the Verizon Wireless site, and there's also a pending application. Actually, it's an approved application for Clearwire, which is a secondary provider on that, that once also attached to that existing Monopine. So a third co-location on that was found to be structurally infeasible. So that, in our opinion, in staff's opinion, demonstrates that co-location on that particular Monopine would be infeasible, and so the construction of a new facility so close to that one we find to be acceptable. The height of the facility, I'll go into a new slide, will call your attention to, I believe it's page 3 of the plans, or let me see, big page. See, the elevations are on A3, sheet A3, or packet page number 39. And I will also display it on the video screen. The height of the monopine, the total height of the monopine is 56 feet. And that's up to the very top of the fake branches of the monopine. The height of the actual antennas, which are shrouded in the fake tree, are, the center of the antenna panels is at 45 feet. And so for zoning ordinance and planning staff review, the height that we are concerned with for aesthetics purposes is 56 feet. The structure is going to be, is proposed to be 56 feet tall. For analysis purposes of radio frequency emissions, RF emissions, the height is that the RF study uses is 45 feet, and that is the study that's included in your packet as attachment 4. And this RF study shows that the RF emissions from this facility would be well below the maximum permissible emissions limit set by the Federal Communications Commission. I believe it's less than 1%, 0.49% for that facility only. If you were to take into account both this proposed facility as well as the existing facility of Verizon and the forthcoming co-location of Clearwire on the same pole, the cumulative RF emissions of all three would be 1% of the maximum permissible emissions level. So this project is consistent with the FCC's requirements and thus is consistent with the city's requirements under the telecommunications facilities regulations. Structure went through design review at the design review board, went through, I believe, three or four meetings at design review. The DRB worked very hard with the applicant to help do a conceptual design of the structure such that that there's substantial branches that shroud the antennae to make sure that the branches are staggered off the trunk to make it look as real as possible. If the facility is approved by the commission this evening, the project would go back to the design review board for preliminary and final review. And at that review, staff would help the DRB ensure that additional design standards that are required by the telecommunications facilities ordinance would be implemented. This includes things like making sure that the surfaces of the facility are non-reflective, and that the lease area, the supporting equipment that for the facility is screened within a security enclosure that's also non-reflective and landscaped and camouflaged sufficiently. So that details the process going forward from here. As far as environmental review, we prepared a notice of exemption pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, an infill categorical exemption we believe that this project qualifies for. So a further environmental review we believe is not necessary. And so that pretty much concludes my comments regarding this project. I believe the applicant has a brief presentation if the commission is willing, and I'm able to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ling. Does the Planning Commission have any questions of the staff?
Mr. Ling, refresh my memory. The east-west trending windrow on the north side of that property line, what's the majority of the tree types in that windrow?
Oh, right, yeah. I'll go back to the aerial. I believe they're eucalyptus trees. And so there's actually a grade difference between the Hollister Business Park and the cement batch plant to the rear of the property. So, yes.
Which way?
The slope?
Yeah. Does it slope downwards to the north?
It slopes upwards to the north.
Upwards?
Yeah.
It's on a bench?
Yeah.
And so they were eucalyptus?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ling, the Verizon monopine that is there, do you know what the size of that one is? I'm just trying to kind of see what the...
Sure. Vice Chair Schiller, members, the Verizon monopine is 70 feet tall.
Okay.
And so this one is at 56.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the commission?
But maybe I could wait until after the applicant presentation,
yeah,
if you don't mind.
That's not a problem at all. Okay, so we'll go ahead, and I'm going to open the public hearing. And we have an applicant here who would like to make a presentation. How much time do you think you will need, sir?
It's a very brief presentation. It'll probably take 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. My name is Scott Dunaway. I'm representing T-Mobile tonight. Thank you, Mr. Ling, for the great staff report and helping me through the process. It was very, very great of you to, gracious for you to do that. Here we are at 7402 Hollister Avenue, and we are proposing a T-Mobile wireless facility. Let's see if I can get this here. And just a quick brief overview, we are back in the northeast corner. As originally proposed, we were here when we first proposed out with the in a planter box, and we moved all the way to the back of the property. So some of my photos that you'll see in this presentation will be a vantage point at the location that we were originally at proposing. But if you can take an eye and think that it's pushed back further even into the property with these. A little bit of why we selected this location. One, it's a compatible zoning location for us. When we go out and we look for a wireless facility location, we tend to look in commercial sectors to begin with. It's a well camouflaged area. It's set back into the parking lot. It's off the main roads, and it's non visible primarily from Hollister Avenue. And from this location, our coverage objective will be achieved, and a little bit more on that to come. We also looked at the Verizon Central office, which is 75 Elwood Station, and that's where the co-location opportunity would have been. We like to look for co-locations for purposes of it's good for all the carriers to co-locate on one facility. It cuts down on cost, and it also cuts down on the amount of facilities that need to be had. Going through the co-location process, we worked with Verizon and found out that there was already a Clearwire application in front of ours at the co-location opportunity. And the way that these are built is when they build them, they provide a co-location opportunity, a port, at the location, which is usually about 10 to 15 feet below the existing antennas. So that's where we would have located. But again, Clearwire has an application in before us, and co-locating below, we would have been starting to shoot into the existing buildings and the foliage and wouldn't have been able to achieve our objective at that location. This is the original search ring that we looked at when we first initiated the ring. As you can see, we are just a little bit out. This is the business park that we're in, and we'll be covering this whole area with the site. This area, as you know, is primarily apartments, residential area. So we tried to get out of that as much as possible and into the commercial sector. This was the original location, and now this will become two parking spaces. And this is the new proposed location in the back corner. Again, we will not be touching this tree, and we will take 1, 2, 3 spaces here. And in the other location, we were going to take that one. This would have taken 2 spaces, and we would have taken 1 more space. So essentially, we're maintaining the same footprint that we would have. This is a photo simulation that we prepared. This is a photo simulation of the location that we originally were going back, that we were looking at. The location now will be back here. As you can see, the antennas will be screened fairly well with the pine needles. We are proposing a CMU block wall, and we also will be providing landscaping on that block wall in addition.
Mr. Dunaway, can I interrupt for a second?
Yes, please.
Can you show us where the Verizon monopole is behind, if that's located in that photo?
I believe the Verizon monopole is right. You can see the tip right there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Another vantage point of a photo simulation, this is looking from Hollister Avenue due north back on the property. And another close-up vantage point. Let's see if you can see that Verizon. I can't pick it out here.
It's not in the corner. It's the old location. Right?
I'm sorry?
That was the old location?
This is the old location. This is our coverage, how it is today. The green is the optimal coverage, which we'd like to provide service. There's no drop calls. It's a seamless communication. The yellow is okay, and the white is poor to almost no coverage at all. As you can see right where we are, we're pretty much in the white zone. This over here, down by the green, is another facility of T-Mobile's, and I believe that is on top of the old Francisco Torres dorms. This is with the new facility. So you can see with this new facility, we really bridge the gap here and start providing coverage through to the search area that I showed you earlier that was our search objective. Just a quick overview of the plans. Again, we're here taking up three spaces. This will become two new parking spaces. Inside the 7-foot CMU wall, we'll have six cabinets. And also inside will be the monopine facility. Quick elevation shot for you. I believe you've seen those. This is our landscape plan. As you can see, we're going to be using a creeping fig vine to climb up on the CMU wall. And also, we're going to be providing irrigation bubblers to provide irrigation to the plants. And along the trenching line, we will be replacing those with any what's out there now, which was the pink lady plants. And those will be 5-gallon size plants for any trenching damage that we do cause. And this is a photo of a recent installation by T-Mobile in Santa Barbara County. This is just off North Patterson area. Give you an idea of an actual existing working facility for you. And that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Dunaway. Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
Please. Thank you. You said a few things that I'd like a little bit more information on. You said when these kinds of things are built that a port is included for future co-location. Is that one port, or does it depend on height and whatever?
It generally depends on height. The common industries, you have to maintain a separation from the existing carrier to the new carrier. And a rule of thumb that they use is about a 10-foot from tip of the lower antennas to the tail of the higher antennas.
Okay.
So when they do install, they generally put in a port location, which a port is that they can run the additional coax that attaches to the antennas through the pole, and then it comes out a port at the top. And so it's essentially ready for an additional carrier.
And your pine tree will have that?
We will be supplying a co-location port at our location, mm-hmm. Yes.
You're going to have eight, I'm really uncertain whether to say antennas or antennae, so eight of those things?
Yes.
Is that the maximum for your infrastructure?
What we are using dual band antennas. So we have an antenna that sends and receives. The typical build out that you'll see will be 12 antennas. and those are one antenna receives, one antenna broadcasts, and then so on down the line. But this, we're using antennas so that we can bring the antennas in closer to the pole, and that will allow the pine needles to cover it more evenly and not stick out as much with a 12 antenna array. I don't know if I answered your question there, but.
Yes. So I will be asking staff either now or later if this CUP is for 8 or for the maximum of, or could it be for 12? Will this be limited to 8?
We are requesting 8, was our request.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If we could ask staff for just a moment to clarify that, would the applicant need to come back through a process if they wanted to expand?
Sorry, Vice Chair, members. The answer is yes. Anything that's not, if it's an increase in the number of antennas, whether it's by the same carrier or a different carrier, it would have to come back through to apply for a new permit, either an amendment to the existing conditional use permit or a new land use permit.
If I could just clarify, the conditions limit it to a monopine that supports 8 antenna at this point in time. Mm-hmm. So that is the specific approval that's being received.
Okay. Commissioner Stepling, you had a question?
So would this monopine have the capability of taking on, let's say, another carrier? Mm-hmm. That's, I think, where we're trying
yes,
to
get. Yes, it will in the future. We are going to allow for a co-location opportunity with this facility.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, could I follow up on that?
Sure.
I think we want to know about future co-location opportunity, and you have answered that. But if this monopine and its supporting structures can carry 8, and you're going to be placing, can carry 12 of those things, and you're going to be placing 8, does that reduce the real potential for co-location in the future?
No, I believe the co-location is another carrier entity coming in and utilizing the same structure.
Ah, okay.
Is what I am referring to as co-location.
All right. Thank you.
Commissioner Daniels, any questions?
Just curiosity.
Mr. Dunaway, you list out on your project description one GPS unit.
Yes.
Where's that, please?
Generally, those GPS units are, it's an antenna about that tall, and they're placed on the inside of the CMU wall.
Not on the pine itself.
Not on the pine itself.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Okay, I'll ask the clerk, is there any request to speak? We'll now open the public hearing portion for the public.
No, Vice Chair.
Okay, thank you. Any staff responses to what we've heard so far?
No. Unless there's other questions, we're happy to answer.
I do have one response. For co-location, there is an approval that would be required if another service provider came through and wanted to co-locate. Their procedure is more streamlined because co-location is encouraged. It's encouraged by state law and passed on down to cities through that. But again, that there are requirements that would be put in place and approvals that would be required of a co-location.
I did have one more question before we close the public hearing here. This is probably for staff. The general plan calls for minimization of separate facilities and co-location of antennae on existing structures. Based on anticipated growth in cellular use, is there an estimate of how many cellular towers and antennae will ultimately need to be sited in Goleta?
Vice Chair and members, it's very hard to say. I think, Scott, you might have more insight into the industry than...
Well, and actually, I could respond to that as well. Scott's free to, from T-Mobile's perspective, I'm sure. But the regulations of wireless providers is done through the FCC, and a lot of it is really an issue of the technology that's available. So as technology improves or changes, then that may change. So what, for instance, the coverage map that they provided, a lot of what the FCC approves and a lot of what wireless providers are able to do depends on the coverage that they're able to provide. And really, the goal is to allow wireless providers to fill those gaps where they're not able to provide service. So there, you know, there's no interest from the FCC's perspective to have wireless providers located closer than is necessary to provide coverage.
If at some point the technology improves where they don't need that many towers to serve their clients, will there be some way of decommissioning towers, or will they just be part of the structure?
There are provisions in the regulations, as well as those were also incorporated into the conditions with regard to abandonment of facilities. So if at some point any wireless provider determines that they or decides for whatever reason not to use a facility any longer, there it will need to be removed if it's officially deemed to have been abandoned pursuant to the city's regulations.
Well, thank you for that information. Do we have any more questions at this point? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. And we're at the point where the Planning Commission will now deliberate on the staff recommendation. Any further comments or remarks?
This is a comment, and it's kind of hard to put it in perspective because of the regulations and what it amounts, I think, to a federal preemption in many ways. But on page 6, it's the second beginning of the second paragraph, staff notes the efforts to co-locate, and they've been unsuccessful, and we have learned more about the why of that. And then the sentence is, therefore, the construction of a new monopine facility in close proximity. And the suggestion is that that would constitute consistency with the general plan. And I think that I agree with that. I believe comparing, rereading the general plan on the co-location. But I would like to say that I also think that at the time that policy of the general plan was adopted, the thought was more to encourage actual physical co-location rather than a clustering of separate facilities. So if we find that for whatever reason we need to rely on consistency findings involving this clustering, I think some other information and some other things may need to be done. As I said, I know we have the federal preemption, but that does not stop the community from worrying about these kinds of things and many other things. And secondly, I'm not sure that the attendant aesthetic requirements actually cover this clustering concept, certainly not as well as an actual physical single co-location. So those are just some comments.
Would anybody like to share any more comments with us? Okay. I was just wondering, based on what Commissioner Wallace just said, if it makes sense to encourage projects that reach the city height limit of 75 feet to encourage co-location in the sense that more carriers would be on just one pole versus the multiple poles to do that.
If I could respond to the discussion with regard to co-location, the finding that this project is consistent with the general plan is necessary in order to make the approval of the CUP. This is highly regulated federally, and so there are many elements that are preempted. And one of the determinations that the law has provided is that Co-location is encouraged, but to the extent that it's not feasible to do the actual co-location on the same facility versus the clustering, then there is the recognition that at that point in time, that is when the additional large facility should be encouraged to go up. With regard to the general plan, that what staff has tried to provide and for you to take into consideration when making these findings is that because the actual location on the Verizon facility was not possible, that there's still the effort and the project is still conditioned to allow co-location in the future on their facility. So to the extent possible, this clustering is minimized. So that is the information that was provided by staff to provide to you in looking at that finding.
Mr. Chair, because of the physical impossibility, I don't have any issue with the finding for this project. All I meant to suggest is that if we find ourselves trying either seeing if we need to build upward to accommodate a certain kind of co-location, we need to do a little homework. If we find that we need to cluster various under the banner of co-location, we still need to do a little homework. So I'm sorry if I didn't make it clear that that was just sort of a general remark for the future and not related to this project.
Thank you, Commissioner Wallace. It appears that we pretty much moved through our deliberation phase, and I was wondering if anybody would be interested in entertaining a motion regarding the staff recommendation. Commissioner Daniels?
Yeah, thank you. 2 points first. One, I appreciate that the proposed height is shorter than the next door neighbor height. I think that shows good taste. And secondly, I ride by one of these, probably not T-Mobile's, I don't know whose it is, on Cathedral Oaks often, and it sticks up on the top of a hill, and it looks, it's not aesthetically desirable from my eyes. I'm only speaking from my eyes. And I see you guys have done a real good job in trying to make this a much fuller, more shapely tree, and I appreciate that too. And with those two comments, I move to approve.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Second from Commissioner Stapleman. We are now ready to vote on this, Madam Clerk. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion
Thank you.
Passes. Thank you, Mr. Dunaway. Okay, that ends the public hearing portion. The remaining part will be for administrative, and I'd like to turn this over to, thank you, Mr. Ling, for that staff report. I appreciate that. I'd like to turn this over to Ms. Miller for the director's report.
Thank you, Vice Chair Sheeler and commissioners. My remarks are going to be limited to reminders about your scheduling. So the first one is that what would be your next meeting is July 12th, but that's one of the summer cancellation meetings. And that, as it turns out, has coincided with not a lull in our workload, but a gap in what is ready for your review. So from our point of view, that's actually helpful in terms of making progress on our workload. So your next meeting would be July 26, 2010. And you have tentatively on that the energy projects overview and also a PC training. And right now we are also considering the briefing that came up a couple meetings ago on the transportation element, probably combined with the SB 375, the greenhouse gas emission update. Those are tentative at the moment, but in any case, we will be having a meeting on July 26th. So that's how we are filling your agenda, but I wanted to make sure, and I will get you a new projection report probably in the next day or so. I think it's just a, an advisory to get ready, because when the summer, as the summer progresses and as we get into fall, we're going to have probably a lot of projects ready for review. We, from time to time, publish a cumulative projects list, and it is on our website, so I don't always email it to you. But along with your projection report, I will email the current one to you, and it shows all of our pending, approved, and under construction projects. And if you get a chance, please look at the pending projects list, because those are what will be coming before you in the next several months. And I think it is pretty rare, but we are actually going to be having probably more than a dozen environmental documents underway at the same time. Many, many, many of those are environmental impact reports. So these are huge endeavors, and some of them will be mitigated negative declarations. And if you peruse the just the pending projects portion of this cumulative list, you will see some projects by name and location. We have the Fairview Commercial Center that's on Fairview across from McDonald's. The Islamic Society is approaching public review of its environmental document. We have projects that you've probably heard by name, the Mariposa Assisted Living Project, the West Star Project. You saw that at concept review. There's a relatively large self-storage project in Old Town, South Kellogg, near the railroad tracks. And I'm not going to go over each and every one of them, but we do have a lot of case processing going on at the moment. And those will be on your fall agenda. So with that, I think that kind of covers the near future and the mid-future on your agenda, and that's all I have to report to you this evening.
Commissioner Wallace.
Ms. Miller, in looking at your crystal ball, would you think that we would have one or two meetings in September?
Thank you. If I had to estimate now, I would say you would probably have two.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for that information and clarification of our timeline. We're at the point now for planning commissioner comments. Would anybody like to share anything with the rest of the assembly group? If you would just indulge me for a moment, I did have a few comments or questions, and this shouldn't take much longer. I just wanted to, this is in regards to coastal access. I'm not sure who's responsible for this, but I wanted to thank those who recently improved the two beach access trails at Elwood Mesa. And I also wanted to thank the staff for incorporating the transportation element briefing into our projection report. I don't know if this is too much off topic or just to throw this out there, but the design review board minutes of June the 10th indicated that there would be or could be a reduction in the planning commission budget. And I was just wondering how this might be achieved, if that's a discussion that includes us or how we find out what the impact of this is on the planning commission. These minutes from the DRB same meeting also referred to a review of the relationship of the bylaws of the DRB and the Planning Commission, and just wondering if there'll be any consultation with the Planning Commission regarding this or how we'll learn more about this. And just the last comment that I wanted to make is as the DRB minutes meetings are not televised, I just personally wanted to stress the value as a planning commissioner for me of having the full DRB minutes. I know that's a lot of work of the staff, but it's certainly much more information to help me do what I think is important here versus just having action minutes, since there's really no other easier way of getting to that information, because the DRB does a lot of work for the city. And those were my comments in closing.
Thank you. I can provide you with a few responses. As to the Planning Commission's budget, and actually I think what we'll do is come back at your next meeting in the director's report with a few more details, but with regard to the Planning Commission budget, we did have to do some belt tightening, and your minutes will revert to action minutes, but you do have the tape to back that up, so that should not be a problem. With regard to the DRB bylaws and connection to Planning Commission and so forth, yes, that would be discussed with both bodies. And I don't have a timeline at the moment for another look at the bylaws and how anything might affect the Planning Commission. And Then lastly, with regard to the full DRB minutes, we can report back to you on that and the pros and cons probably at your next meeting. But we do recognize that there is value in the full minutes. And one of the things that was under consideration was at least webcasting the DRB meetings, although probably TV is out of budget. So I think there's continued discussion on that issue.
Thank you for that report. I think we're pretty much done here. Could I have a motion for adjournment?
Gladly.
Second. Second.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Good evening.